We're always glad to have you, whoever it might be that comes. And see somebody here with Vinny. Do I know this brother? Oh, Barry. I thought that was Barry. He looked a little different today for some reason. We're glad to have Barry come and be with us. He was over the other night with us. And we talked to him a few minutes. He had kind of thought about coming by today, but I guess something happened. He didn't get by. I was seeing a few things earlier today that I thought needful. Really, I don't guess it was all that needful, but the way I see things, the way I understand things, the church is being sealed in. And as I said this morning, when the church is sealed in, then that means the world is sealed out. If there is a sealing in, there is a necessity of sealing out. And so I see the church being sealed in. And I don't see, perhaps you do, when I say this, and of course everybody has the right to their own sovereignty, their own decisions and whatever, but I don't see much time left for the Gentile church, or the Gentile people, I put it like that. And the whole thing, in the way that I understand it, of God, the whole purpose of God is just to reach his people. Now maybe you wouldn't understand that. People would say, well, Brother Pike, I think God's plan is to reach everybody. Well, maybe it is. Maybe you understand it better than I do. But according to what I understand, he didn't have any plans to reach anybody except the elect. And a person would say, well, then what need is there for the minister to go forth to preach? Well, that is the reason for the minister to go forth to preach, is so that the elect can be called out from among the people, whereas the terms is used, come out from among them. And when he says them, he's not interested in them because them don't belong to him. But come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. And the blood on the seat of atonement as to the mercy seat, it is given for one reason and what I understand, and that is so that the world can keep functioning and there can be a place of living and a place of eating and drinking and things can continue on as to the necessitated means of life by those that are not the elect, in that it is the land of Esau and the world of Esau, and it's given to Esau and the god of this world, even Satan, Lucifer, until the time be fulfilled, and then God's people as to the elect come out. And the ministry is going to call them out. Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And of course I know we're the true Israel, but nevertheless he came as Jesus to the Jews, and then Christ came to seek a bride among the Gentiles, and Paul was the overseer. And not everyone is the bride. Whereas a lot of people, they look at it in this fashion, you know, that everybody is out there and Christ is out seeking a bride. And it's let whosoever will come, and whosoever comes is the bride. Well, that's true. That's true. It is to let whosoever will. But the only thing about it, there is no one that will except the bride. And the bride was ordained before the world ever was, and their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And as I so often say, as to Esau and Jacob, the children, having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to the election of him that calleth and not of him that runneth or worketh, and that the Bible said, you are elect according to God's foreknowledge. Then it was said, as the children wrestle in the womb, why is this, she inquired, and he said, for it is that Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. And the elder shall serve the younger. So if it isn't that way, then of course, then I misunderstand. But if it isn't that way, then the question arises in my mind and heart, why was it said that when Paul preached the elect, the foreknowledge people of ordination, of them that was foreordained to eternal life, said these believed and the rest were blinded? they did not believe. See, we are preaching the gospel to every creature. And every creature has a chance to hear the gospel. But before the world ever came into existence as to the foundation of the earth, God looked down through the telescope of time. The Bible said all of his works been known unto him from the beginning. And he looked and saw the evils of Esau's life and the ugly attitude he would have, and all of the children of Esau, or the people in the land of Esau. And right then and there, even as he created them, he knew they were beasts. And not only that, but some, the Bible tells us, they are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. Even when he made them, he foresaw them as brute beasts. And when he brought them into the world, he knew that they were being made to burn. And as it was said of Judas, before he was ever born into the world, it said, let another his bishopric take. And Jesus said it was better that that man had never been born into the world. So the elect hath received it. Paul said concerning the Jews, he said, not all that is of Israel is Israel. As to all that would be Jews, he said, that is to say, as to those that are not believers. And as to the 3 million supposedly that came out of Egypt, going on to Canaan, it was said of these people, not all that came out of Egypt, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. And as I said this morning, how the great masses or the multitudes of those people that will be in the latter times after the church is taken away, only 144,000 is sealed of the house of Jacob, when 3 million in the beginning came out of Egypt. So even though we don't understand a lot of times, and we get ideas and our thoughts, and that's all we can do, because all we can understand is what we can understand, and a man can't receive anything save it be given him of God. But we get the idea that the Jews are a special people, and that God is respect a person, and that he's going to do something special for them that he didn't do for us. But that's not true. I've tried to explain that with God, there is no respect of person, neither is there any such thing as a Jew in the natural. The Bible teaches there is no such thing. That he that is a Jew spiritually, he is a Jew. And there is no such thing as Jews in the natural. And God is no respect of person. And even the 144,000, we say, well, Brother Pike, they are the predestinated of God. And that is true. But then aren't we the predestinated of God? What different are they from us in that we are also the predestinated of God? They are predestinated, but they are predestinated as his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And they must receive the blood of the Lamb just like you and I. That's why they're wandering around out of the presence of God today. Only the blood on the seat of atonement protects them as it does those that are without. Because they too must receive Christ and receive his name as a seal in their forehead as to the name Jesus, for there's no other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved, and there's remission of sin in none other name. So then in Revelation 6, as to the opening of that seal, of the sixth seal, we find that this is very true. So folks, God is one God, there's one faith, one God, one baptism, and there's but one gospel. And it is to all people, and all people have an opportunity to come to God. All people. But they have an opportunity on the basis that God foresaw before they was ever born into the world as to what they would do and what they would not do. And their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life before they ever came into the world. As the prophet said, I remind you again, I was called to be a prophet before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. All my members were made up in the mind of God. And all these things that come to pass, it is not something that we are doing or you are doing or the church is doing or some great thing that's coming about because of people and their intelligence and brilliance. This is the mistake the world makes. Presidents, kings, leaders, royal men, dignitaries, all these kind of people, statesmen. See, they make this mistake as to the spirit of error. They don't have any power to bring about salvation, and they don't have any understanding as to know what's right and what's wrong. They are merely as chests that would be upon a board and moved at the will of the Lord. For God, who hath made all things, the Bible said all things were made for him and by him, and without him there was nothing made that is made. It was made for his glory, it was made for his pleasure. And that he hath created all things for his own glory. And what is happening is that which he purposed in his heart and mind before the world ever was, and made it known as a mind or a revelation to the people down through the ages. First as a natural, intellectual, historical pilgrimage from the east to the west. And then as to the unveiling, as the spiritual pilgrimage from the west back to the east. As to say, to that which is righteous and holy, in that, that is symbolic as a holy land. So all of these things are already the purpose and plan of Almighty God. It's God's master plan. And you that are born to the world, can you do anything except that that you're ordained to do? Of course not. Judas went to his place as to a foreign nation. You go to your place. Whatever your place is, it was predetermined as to pre. The Bible said in your destination is decided. It is pre-decided. So then you are the predestinated, and you are the elect, if you be God's, according to his foreknowledge of what he foreknew of you. And if you are not God's elect, then ye are those that were foreordained under condemnation, ungodly people turning the grace of God into, turning it into lasciviousness, lavishly doing what you want to do during the grace period, whether you be religious or non-religious, it doesn't matter. And as some would say, when Paul was preaching this, they said, well, who hath found fault with him? Why does he do these things? Paul said, nay, O man, who art thou? Who art thou that replies against God? Can the thing made say to him that hath made it or made me, why hast thou made me thus? Hath he not power as the potter over the clay to make as to what he will to honor, and what he will make to dishonor? And what if he was willing to subject you as vessels that's fitted for wrath, subject you unto long suffering and destruction with nothing but pain and misery? Could you then, Paul said, do anything about it? Of course not. And what if he was willing to take those vessels that was afore ordained unto perfection and honor and glory throughout the eternities to give them all kind of royalty and majesty? Can you do anything about it? Of course not. Therefore he giveth more grace to the humble. All we can do is humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might raise us up in due season. And if we humble ourselves, then it is first true and sure that he foresaw this before the world ever was. And if we submit and we conform, he foresaw it before the world ever was. And if we be contrary as to stubbornness and rebellion, the Bible said it's idolatry and the sin of witchcraft, he foresaw it before the world ever was. If we be cunning and crafty as to proportionally place things in one category of life or another, to the extent that we are going to benefit one way or another by slipping around and kind of manipulating and being evasive, you know, and trying to work things after the counsel of our own desire and will, did he not see it before the world ever was? Can you then deceive God? Even our unrighteousness, the Bible said, commendeth the righteousness of Almighty God. Our unbelief, it cannot make God's faith of none effect. That's what I told you this morning. And whatever you are, then ye are by the grace of God. Paul said, well, this much grace has been given unto me that I should preach the gospel. And whatever you are, then you are that merely because of the grace he allotted to you as to what you will be. If a woman be a prostitute, if she be a wicked woman, is it not because God has ordained it? If a man be a whoremonger and a liar and a cheat and a murderer and a thief, is it not because God ordained it? If one man comes to power as to the throne, as to a king, is it not because God ordained it? When Elvis Presley was raised up, wasn't it because God foreordained it? And wasn't it said that Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised him up, that I should show forth my glory? Haven't I hardened his heart each time that Moses warned him? Didn't the Bible say that God hardened his heart? That he might continue to show his signs and wonders throughout the earth, that all men might fear him? For this cause have I raised him up, he said. And so then, I say these things to you as little children in the Lord, not to cause you a problem, but to enlighten your understanding to this extent, that if you serve God, if you love the Lord, John said, then are ye known by your doings. For he that doeth righteousness is of God, little children, he said. And he that doeth not righteousness, it doesn't matter how much he goes to church or professes to be a believer or says he has eternal life, it says he is of the devil. Said, for he sinneth. And he that sinneth is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. He that is born of God, he cannot sin. There's no such thing as him sinning. He cannot sin. Whereas even when the Bible speaks of blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, of somebody blaspheming and being eternally cut off and damned of speaking a word against the Holy Ghost and never be forgiven in this world and the world to come, John readily tells us, even at this very point where this happens, he said, and there is a sin unto death, I do not say that ye should pray for this. It wouldn't do you any good. But he said, all unrighteousness is sin, and you can pray and God will forgive you if you've sinned. He that cometh to God confesseth his sins, God is just to forgive him of his sins. And he that abideth in Christ Jesus, he sinneth not, for the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And John, he made this statement as to the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. He said, and we know that he that is born of God cannot sin. When he spoke of the unpardonable sin, he immediately followed up by saying, but we know that he that is born of God cannot sin. That God's not going to let him just wander around and blaspheme, because the preparation of man's heart is from God. So in all of these things, I tried to bring to your understanding the Word of God. Faith by the Word of God. And that if you are God's, then you're God's from the foundation of the world. Jesus saying, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was, and us being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Then are we of God, and we came from heaven, and we'll go back to heaven, because we are not of the earth. Ye are of the earth, and of the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. For upon thy belly shalt thou go all the days of thy life as a generation of vipers, and dust shall ye eat, and all of your labor shall be for your belly and for your mouth, because your belly craves it of you, for ye are a generation of vipers, and ye are the ones that have sinned against God. But I am not of the earth, Jesus said, of the world. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And he said, Father, I was with you before the world ever was. So that's why the Bible said, Job, where was you before the foundation of the earth was laid, when the morning stars sing together and the sons of God leap for joy? Because we were there in the foreknowledge of our heavenly Father. So then, even though our bodies have been made subject to vanity, as among the beast of this world and among the trifling things of this world, and we are subject to the vanities of this world, all is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the spirit is but a lying vanity, as to a world and a reflector of a real world somewhere, and this light will go out as to the reflection. See, and even though that's who we are, as a natural person, born as a reflector, but that thing that is of the beast, that body that God hates, as I said this morning, God is doing away with that. He's completely putting that away from you. By Calvary, you are dead in that ugly form of yours, in that ugly visage of yours, in that thing that you cherish that God hates so much. It is despised. He hath despised your image. He said, I will despise your image in the morning, because it is a bastard image from the natural birth of Adam, as in Adam all died through the beast and the knowledge of the beast. And now the morning has come. The morning stars are singing together. And now has come the day star to dawn in your heart. And Calvary's come, and the veil of night has been moved away as it's been rent in twain. And the enter you as the true you, as to that that's been in captivity all these years, all of a sudden it is brought to light. For God has given us eternal life. And the Bible said this eternal life that was before the world ever was, now is brought to light at Calvary. That is brought to understanding, to where you can comprehend it, by the rending of the veil. So When we think like this, we know that that image is dead, it's gone, it's despised, it's put away. And when the morning light of Calvary came, and as it was said, now the true light shineth, and now there's great light that has sprang up in the regions of the shadow of death to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death. And now the true light shineth. And now dawning within your heart, this light that shines in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, as light ye do shine, even your lights unto the end of the earth. And so let your light shine that men may see your good works. It brings forth works in the body, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And since this wonderful light has come, those that are in darkness as to intellectual philosophies and education, as to the social benefits and securities of life, they cannot see this light. They cannot comprehend this light, though they go to church, and you've got all kinds of churches, all kinds of religious people, great religious men, but they see nothing but vanity. And the prophets prophesy lies, and they see vanity, and they prophesy out of their own heart, and they have a spirit of error, which God has not given them. So this body being gone as to the natural body, now you are alive forevermore as they that dwell in heaven, having been translated into the Spirit of Christ and dwelling in those heavenly places within the body of the Lord Jesus as members in particular. And this great light is sprang up unto you, and you comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length of it, because ye are children of light. But the wicked shall not see when good cometh. They never see when good comes. They don't see God. They don't see angels. They don't see righteousness. They don't see hope. They will not see the gates of pearls. They will not see the beautiful throne of God. They will not see the beautiful streets of gold. I know people go along with this heresy thing, you know, that they'll see this all this glory and be turned away from it. The Bible said they'll never see good. Never. They don't see it in this life. They are in total eclipse and darkness. So I'm just running these little things by you that you might understand, even as this morning I desired so much to run by you as to your liberties as the sons of God and the wonderful things that you have in God that the world does not have. And now the church has just about come out from among the world. Not in the sense that they don't go out there and work among the people, feed among the people, feed with the people. Jesus ate with the sinners and the publicans. Jesus said to come out from among the world, or Paul said to come out from among the world, and this way you would have to leave the world altogether as a physical human being. So I know that you can't do that. But in your spiritual being, you can come out from among them and be not partakers with them, nor fellowship with their evils, and that you be not a part of them. And you come out from among them to be a separate people of not touching the unclean things, having been translated as your angelic being into the wonderful heavenly realms of God and been equal to the angels, and that the angels cannot die, setting together in heavenly places, dwelling together in heavenly places, not being a human robot as to be filled with the devil and evil spirits that have come out of the dry places to find an abode, that they might through human means or your human personality project themselves as to your own faculties, for they desire to be so and to do so, and to project themselves in evil desires and to lust and to covetousness and to fame and popularity and to become somebody in the world, or to have a, be an attraction of the earth, that they might be some great celebrity or whatever it might be. Well, nevertheless, this is what we're trying to tell you. And on we could go, but this is the thing that I'm trying to get over to you, is that we are sent not to perfect you as to do's and don'ts and chewing and drinking and cursing and smoking and doting about in the world. That's not why we're sent here. We are sent here for the perfecting of your faith. And that faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. For the Bible said God has set forth the ministry for the perfecting of the faith of the saints, which faith comes by the hearing of the word, as the word is dispensed through them as a dispenser to you, or disclosed to you. And it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And it is his glory, his doings, his ways. But I say so often that when you receive this thing as workmanship in God, preordained, predestinated unto good things in the Word, in Christ Jesus. Then when you receive this wonderful Spirit as the nature of Almighty God, as the nature of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, along with the mind of Christ, then you will do the very things that He did, and you will have the very nature. You'll have the very mind, and you'll have the very desire. And your desires won't be to run after the world and whore after the world and try to have the things of the world and try to become rich in the world. Neither will a minister to pierce himself through with many sorrows, even though the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, giving you the desires of your heart, making you to ride upon the high places of the earth, making all of your beds in the time of your sickness, making you as a tree that's planted by rivers of water, to bring forth your fruit in your season, your leaves not wither, and whatsoever you do to prosper. Being blessed of God, that your faith may be imputed unto you as righteousness. I remind you one more time, as I did this morning, and so often, David said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. Blessed is the man unto whom God gives righteousness without works. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered by the blood and iniquities taken away. They're all forgiven. Blessed is that man, for ye are the blessed of the Lord. And John brings it out in his writings so very clear, where he made the statement, what great honor God hath bestowed upon you, as people look upon you as the children of men. Ye are called the sons of God. Ye are called the sons of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. What a great honor. You know, if I was called the son of a king, that would be a tremendous honor in the world, which I wouldn't care for it, and I'm sure you wouldn't either. But the world would. But I am a son of the King of Kings, which is the greatest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first of all, and that's enough for me. So that we are already the beloved, eternal, everlasting, rich, all knowledgeable sons of God that are perfect, without a spot, without a blemish, and eternally made as gods to rule and reign throughout eternity. And as kings, he hath made us kings and priests unto our God and unto our heavenly Father. And it is said that the 24 kings around the throne, they fell down on their faces before the King of Kings. And it is said that all the kings of the earth that ruled over nations in different providences came into those beautiful gates and put their crowns down at his feet to worship the King of Kings. So it is so great, it is so wonderful, it is so shocking to come to reality and understand the wasted life of a man and the frivolousness of a man as to say, well, I'm going to hold on, I think I'll make it in, not trying to bring any fruit to perfection, not going on to a full reward, to the full measure of the full stature, and frivolously going along trying to hold on to the world with one hand and get everything he can out of the flesh with one hand and try to hold on to God with the other hand. I tell you people, there is no such Christians. There is no such Christians. You either are in all the way going after him with all of your heart or you don't have anything. And even then, if you fall short, he will bless you. But if you fall short, you won't get a full reward, but he will bless you because you made a full effort. And if you're weak and you can't make it, if you're not strong enough, if you just can't make the grade to the extent that you don't apply yourself enough where you could, every man can by his strength, even the weak that can say he's strong by the power of his might. See, but if you want the frivolous things of the world is to half-heartedly looking back, then it is for sure that you don't belong to God. Other than that, some that will make an effort but not diligently reach after the things of God, should they even get in, it would be as if a fire and all of their works would be burned. And the Bible said if a man's works are burned, then he suffers loss. So let's read here in Romans. It says in the first chapter, 14th verse, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and served the creature, that is the body, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God, that is truth, in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventive of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, old man. And then he says here in the third chapter, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? As it is written, there is none righteous, and no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So then we know that where we are as a sinner, we know where we are if we are without God's Spirit. And I have told you so many times, I said, there is no such thing as anyone living a Christian life. There's no such thing that has ever been, that is, or ever shall be, of anyone living a Christian life. You cannot live a Christian life. You cannot live an overcoming life. There is no such thing as having salvation. There's no such thing as getting to heaven. There's no such thing as waiting around on God and God going to transformate you, translate you, and take you out of here. There is no such thing. But even as a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump as pertaining to sin, so does righteousness possess your reins. And so it is that when righteousness comes into you, which is the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Ghost himself, even the Spirit of Christ, which is given to you by the works of God and the righteousness of Christ, even the righteousness of the law, when this comes into you, then you become righteous. And you find yourself not trying to live an overcoming life. You do not find yourself trying to be religious or trying to do things. You find that you are born again of the Holy Spirit, and you have a desire and a hunger and a thirst for heavenly things and spiritual things. And as you grow, even from a little child, as you grow, you have a greater hunger and a greater desire as Jesus, that grew in favor with man and God, saying, I must be about my Father's business, and continually meditated in the laws day and night. And the Bible said, being made perfect, he become the author and finisher of our faith and salvation.
and this wonderful Christ that was revealed to him as he grew in stature, that is to say the Jesus part, that he was very God. And not only was he God, but he was the fullness of God, and there wasn't any more God, nor was there another God. Nowhere was there another God. He said, I know not of any. I stretched out the heavens alone. This thing of Trinity and three gods is foolishness. When people start teaching that, it's a proof that they don't understand and they don't know. They may be honest and they may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. It's like people that are overseas. They feed their children to the crocodiles and they are sincere. They feed their children to the snakes. I've seen big old cobras come out and bite the babies because they felt like they were supposed to offer the babies a sacrifice. But they are sincerely wrong. And you people that are religious, many of you count beads and many of you do all kind of things, all kind of practices. And some of you are worse off than they that count beads. See, but the thing is, you are sincerely wrong. To fast a meal will not take you to heaven. And to come to church will not take you to heaven. To give in the offering will not take you to heaven. To belong to a church and to belong to a body of believers is not going to take you to heaven. Judas did all of that. He believed in all of that, but it didn't take him to heaven. If you believe there's one God, that doesn't mean that you have faith in God. As I said this morning, you may have faith in the history and believe there's a Washington or a Lincoln. You know, you may have faith in many things and do many things, and you do what you believe in. The child is known by his doings. His faith is made manifest as to his believing, even if it is real faith, faith in God. See, but the thing is, that doesn't take you to heaven. Just believing in something. The devil believes. He believes there's a God, and the Bible said he trembles when he thinks about it. But that isn't faith that will take him to heaven. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, as I said this morning, and the preparation of this heart is by that word, for the preparation of the heart is from God, and God is the Word. And the Word is present. He's above you. He's in you. He's through you. And in Him you have your being. See, and God prepares your heart unto destruction, or He prepares your heart unto life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, lead us not into temptation, as we humble our heart and soul. But we say, lead us not into temptation, but Father, lead us into life, into liberty, into freedom, into the wonderful things of God. And you know, people, we have to come to the place to where we realize that preachers can't just preach what we want to hear. That preachers aren't sent just to build a church in a community and get together and see how many people that they can get in church. Or if they get a little flock, or if they get thousands. And you can get thousands by going the right way as to the world. For the world loves its own. And it's no problem to be big churches with lots of money and prestige. See, but as it was said of Jesus, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus wasn't writing books. He wasn't a philosopher. As it was written of him, it said, and he did not have a college education. And he did not do the things of the world. Neither sought he himself as to a reputation of the world, but humbled himself in the fashion of a servant unto death, to die for you and I. He did not go after the world. He did not want the world. He owned all that was in the world. Everything throughout eternity, he owns it. He did not need anybody to teach him anything. The Bible speaks of you as children of God, that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you and make you of a quick understanding. And you'll understand more than all of those that study continually if you apply yourself to God. You cannot just drift along like a boat that doesn't have an anchor. You know, and just drifting around on the waves and blown about by every wind of doctrine and all of the ideology, you will become, as the world would say, an ignoramus, and you won't know anything. You have to apply yourself, no matter what it is. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, what about our great colleges? Look at the great men that they've raised up. Look at our great leaders. I don't know of any. Did you know of any? If you do, you can tell me about it. Somebody would say, well, look at Washington and look at Lincoln. They wasn't hatched off out of college. Lincoln learned by an old fireplace, and the Bible being the very key to the whole thing. As I said this morning, I spoke of Charles Finney, and I spoke of him being a lawyer. But I spoke of him, it was from Charles Finney that the college over in Ohio got started, where about 500,000 people were moved because of this man. So, it isn't the world. The world doesn't have anything. That is just a thing that's headed toward a great finale, and it's going to wind up in this Olympic thing as to the Gentile age, as to America, and then it's going to burst like a balloon. And poverty, sickness, and heartaches, and darkness is going to cover the people. See, this is Satan's last great move in this what's called the New World, America, which is the Olympics coming in 96. And that in 96, as I said to you concerning the calendar, you go back and check your calendar. Because in 96, how far down the trail are you going to be? 6, 7, 8, 9, 2000. You're going to be right there as would be the middle of the week, supposedly, as to the calendars and the time of the darkness and the Antichrist and gnawing the tongue for pain and all of the mountains moving out of their places and the stars falling down from heaven and everything shaken and the cities of the nations, all of them falling to the ground, including this Atlanta, Georgia. See, and we are moving right now toward 93 as to the coming of the 19 nations that has compiled their efforts and they have unionized as to the other side of the ocean to bring up this common market thing to where that the great trade that is now coming to America, that is as to the commodities of the sea, shall be cut off. And there at the place that is much closer on their side of the ocean, they will form their union. Their commodities will come together. And it will build this place and make this great thing that Revelation speaks about. Where it said, and her desolation has come in 1 hour. And it names all of the great commodities and the things that are so outstanding that the world looks after and lusts after. And they'll build it up into a great mighty empire, and the papacy of Rome will get control of it there because they're the ones that chiefly have the money. And Russia said, bring it on over to us. And so then they're coming together just about that time. Already they've unionized. I read a little article the other day that we're no longer as a divided people. They have unionized. See, and all of these things are going to come together. And tonight, if we just had the time and the listeners, we could say a lot of things tonight as pertaining to that, but I feel a little hungry here tonight. So that means that the end of the world is here. Not in the sense that all of a sudden the end of the world has fallen upon you people, because I told you the Bible teaches that even in the days of Peter at Calvary, he discovered that Calvary was the end of the world. And he said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then you're just in the ends of that end, as it just kind of rolls on out to the finish line. And there, the fullness of time, I preached to you how that it was said, and in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law and to gather all things as it was in the days of Noah into the ark of that body of the Lord Jesus in heaven and earth, and even the creeping things that went into the lower parts of the earth, even Jesus going down there and mastering those. So that was the end of the world. And I told you how that from that point, as Jesus stood, he was also as to the carry over to the Jews to the middle of the week from the 483 of Daniel as to the Gentile times and seeing it and the opening of the door in heaven from the 483 years being determined upon the Jews as the Daniel's people, leaving 7 years as to a dividing asunder as to 7 from 490. And over here in the end time, that these 7 years of the tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, it has to come back in. And that door which is open in heaven, which is the divisional thing between the 7 and the 483, as to the dividing asunder of the 490, which was determined as a finishing thing upon Daniel's people, that's the only days and years and times and season was determined. And that was upon a natural people. You are not a natural people. You are a God people. You are a spiritual people. And the Jews paralleled with the world and those that are beast out in the world. For they've never come to this marvelous light and this understanding. And all that religious preaching out yonder, that isn't for the church. That is the rain as to the inspiration to keep them religiously inspired until the times and seasons are completed as to the fullness of time. And you're the people that in the fullness of time was translated into the kingdom of God. Someone would say, Brother Pike, I wasn't even born. I know that. But the Bible said it came to pass that he heard you before you ever called. And the Bible said this was given to you in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, as your names were wrote down in the Lamb's book of life. And before your generation ever came, before you was ever formed in the womb, you were called as his elect. And this thing given to you, and as to your day, then the ministry sent to call you that you might hear the voice and to tell you these things, that you are, that you will forever be, that you always have been the lovely sons and daughters of God, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, perfected forever by the body of Jesus Christ. Even the Lamb, not that was offered up at Calvary, but offered up before the foundation of the world. The Bible said, and the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, added to the foreknowledge of God, when it all was purposed, Paul said, pre-purposed in him as to a mind to be brought to light at Calvary, as to the ministry of the church ages and the preachers preaching this to you, that proportionally speaking by the means of the transformation of your mind, calling you to virtue and glory. That is, out of the world, away from those trifling things, into virtue, and revealing to you from glory to glory his wonderful, masterful plan on the inside through the transformation of your mind, having translated your spirit into the marvelous kingdom of God, and that kingdom coming at Calvary as to be the light within Jesus Christ. In you now that spirit dwells as the light of the world, as to the measure whatever you might receive. And in this that he hath called you to that glory of the day start dawning within you, that it might be made manifest at the Thessalonian change that Paul spoke of, at the coming of the Lord, with Christ in you, the hope of that glory. Every man having this hope will transfigure at the coming of the Lord Jesus. For Christ in you is that hope of glory, in that he alone was made heir to the glory. So the eternal life, Christ within you, lives the overcoming life. Christ within you subjects the flesh. Christ within you subjects your body to that inter-perfect spiritual angelic being of yours on the inside that was made so as he came into your heart to bring to you perfection that was given to you in Christ before the world ever was. The Bible said, and when the time come, as to the fullness of time, and he as to whom the promise was made, even the elect one, or the perfect one, as to whom the seed of God was, even Jesus Christ. When he came, now he is within your heart. And now we're preaching the kingdom of God at hand. And now we're preaching, repent and believe the gospel and be translated into the kingdom of God as to your inner man. And we're preaching to the church that you that have received this, that have this on the inside, this heavenly treasure within your earthen vessels, that now at this time it is to be made manifest in your mortal genes to change you from a natural body to a spiritual body, because there is a natural body and a spiritual body. There is a corruptible body, there is an incorruptible body. There is a terrestrial body, there is a celestial body. And as you have borne the image of the terrestrial, you shall bear the image of the celestial. And this glorious, wonderful glory on the inside, Paul said, these beggarly elements in the world, as to whom the children of this world are in bondage to, as the bond's child, are not to be compared with this wonderful glory that is to be revealed within you at the coming of the Lord, to be made manifest in your mortal genes as this body, as the old cocoon goes away and the butterfly in his change. So that means that you are the children of God. Now, beloved, you are the sons of God. And it doth not appear what ye shall be, but ye shall be like him when he appears. And everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And this wonderful glory as to Christ within you, the hope of that glory, it is being made manifest within you as to that glory that you cannot compare to these beggarly elements. So then we know that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. We are the predestinated. We are sanctified once and for all with the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. We are perfected forever, and we are the wonderful sons of God. And we have the power to rule with the rod of iron. We've been caught up to the throne. And our spiritual inter-angelic being leaving this body by the death of Calvary hath gone away as the butterfly out of the cocoon of the old worm, as to the footstool which is earth, and gone into the heavenly places. And our spirit having been translated into the spirit of Christ, that spirit went away And it took the body out of the dust as it picked Jesus up, having been delivered as the first man Adam in the configuration of sin for our transgressions, and raised again within 3 days for our justification. And away he went, not as a natural man, but as a spiritual quickening spirit. The first man Adam, a living soul, and the last man Adam, a quickening spirit. And by the washing of the water of the word through the regenerations, that's from one generation of Adam unto death to the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are, buried with him in baptism, raised again with him in the likeness and newness of life as to the resurrection. And now, having been buried in his death, we are living with him in life. And he becoming us in sin, now we are him in life. He, our body of that of the unbecoming, God smote it. Now we are the becoming body of the Lord Jesus, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Inwardly we keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not. And that which was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, at last was brought to light at Calvary. And here we are, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ living within me. We are now the temples of the Lord Jesus. And now we are speaking as the oracles of God. And this life on the inside is now the eternal life, whereas we can never perish because we pass from death unto life by what he did for us. And today we are alive forevermore. And that's why that this morning I kept trying to tell you that we are not under the curse of the law. We are not under the curse. He was made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that abideth not under the law to do all that it said, if we transgress in one place. We are guilty of all. But blessed is he that is not under the law. And I've said to you so many times as a real simplicity that we cannot die. There is no way that a Christian can die. A Christian cannot die. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that's just a figure of speech. That is not a figure of speech. I'm not up here playing games. This is not a figure of speech. I'm up here to perfect your faith as you're believing in whatsoever is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit through the utterance of vocabulary expression, in that it's not me speaking but God. And the Bible said they shall all be taught of God, for it shall not be you speaking but God speaking from on the inside. Let all the world keep silent, for God is in his temple, and I will make the whole world come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. For I've made ye gods, and you pass from death unto life, and you cannot die because you're gods. I've called you gods. Jesus said so in the book of Psalms, and repeated it in the New Testament as he talked to those people that wanted to stone him because he said he was the Son of God. So then, because Jesus fulfilled the law, saying to his disciples, and I repeat this again, because many of you don't get it. Many of you don't get it. Unless I repeat it many times. And some of you that do get it don't understand it. And if you did get it, so much, well, I've got it. Well, then that's fine. You need to get out of here and go tell somebody about it. And leave me alone and let me finish telling the rest of them. And so then, he that is born of God cannot sin. And if you are born of God, you cannot transgress the law because you are not a natural person anymore. You are born of the Spirit, and he that is born of the Spirit, that is spirit. Whatsoever be born of the flesh is flesh. Whatsoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. For that which is born of water, it is water or flesh, as scientists say, the biggest part of the body. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. And so then, as to the law, it's folded up and laid away. And as Jesus taught this, as Jesus walked with his disciples, he taught them, the kingdom will come, and you pray the will of God be done. For he was the kingdom, and he was the will of God, and he was going to unveil it by crucifixion. And he knew within a little while the kingdom of God would be presented to them, and that they, just as I today, would be preaching the kingdom of God and the name Jesus as an entrance into this kingdom, as to remission of sin. And he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. And it is no more, it is taken away. And if it is no more, and if it is taken away, then I am not under the law, neither do I have to serve the law, because I am not a servant. I am a son. Why should I then serve the law? servants serve the law, and he that serveth the law is a servant. I am a child of God. I do not have to serve the law. God, who was the spirit of the law, of righteousness, liveth on the inside of me. I am from his loins and his genes. I am his very image. I was made in the image in the beginning. I am still his image. So, I am born of God. Can I then sin? He that is born of God cannot sin. Why is it he cannot sin? Because the seed of God, which is Christ, even the spirit that was the spirit of righteousness of the law that dwelt in the body of Jesus, even the Christ is on the inside of you. That's why you cannot sin. Why is it I cannot sin? Because I am born of God. And John said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for the seed of God, even Christ, the fulfillment of righteousness, dwelleth within him and will never leave him, never forsake him. Because sin is the transgression of the law, and transgression of the law is sin. And where there is no law, you cannot transgress something that don't exist. And where there is no transgression, there is no sin. And if there is no sin, how then can you sin? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I sin. I know that you do too. And I understand that, and I wouldn't try to tell you that you don't. But I do tell children of God that they don't sin. As to you sinning, that's one thing, but I'm talking to children of God. Children of God cannot sin. They are born of God. Even before they were ever born into the world, having done no good or evil, God wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life and justified them by the faith of Jesus Christ as his workmanship in Christ Jesus, and made it manifest in the end of the world. As to when they said, can we work the works of God? What must we do? And he said, I'm the works of God. And I read to you the gospel of Christ. Herein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Not revealed in you as from works to works, but it is revealed within the gospel as from faith to faith. And I preach to you the gospel, and as you hear, you believe. And as you believe, you become righteous, as he justifies your heart by faith and purges your heart by faith, cleanses you by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed to you. It is a revelation, and that by faith, by faith. I say again, and some of you don't understand this, but clapping your hands and singing and all these things, and even if you make a joyful noise unto the Lord, which is great, but that isn't the righteousness of God being revealed in you. It's true that you joy, that you clap your hands, that you sing, that you get enthusiastic, you're carried away. Even the charismatics are in that, in singing, just singing. They just get in there and sing and sing and sing. Why? Because Satan don't want the word. Why is it? He don't want you to love the word. He don't want you to hunger after the word. Because the word casts out devils. The word takes away your iniquities. The word brings you eternal life. The word fixes you in such a way that Satan can't live in there. That seed gets in there. But as long as you sing and clap your hands, do all those kind of things, it doesn't matter how much you do that. That rain is on the just and the unjust. And the tare can go right on rejoicing in the rain, because the same life that gives life to the wheat, it gives life to the tare. And you both grow up together. And God has to cut you all down. That's why death prevails as to the sleep of mankind, is so that he can sever and divide asunder as to between the wheat and the tare. So then we know that we are the children of God, and we know that we are moving from faith to faith, and that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, and that we are doing the same as to the heavens declaring the handiwork to him. So then is it declaring it to us today, as it is revealed to us and made known to us, that all of these visible things is really the word of God that said, let there be, and that it is in the form of the need of men. And when that visage is taken away or dissipates, there's nothing left except the quickening and the life as to the spirit. And that the whole heavens and earth and the sea, all is filled with the knowledge of God. And it's within a veil and within the cloak. And the veil has been rent at Calvary. And now you can have the great Christ of that veil, that great Holy Spirit on the inside, that great mind of God that will reveal all of eternity to you, and all that's in heaven and all that's in the earth and all that's in the sea to make you know all of the wonderful thoughts of God. The great is the multitude of his thoughts. So we are sons of God. Now, beloved, we're the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him when he appears, for we shall see him like he is. And we already are angelic beings that are dwelling in heaven, and we're not in bodies of clay, and we're not in the earth as to the footstool, but we are they that dwell in heaven. That's why we don't go whoring after the things of the world, and that's why we don't lust after the flesh, and that's why we don't hunger and thirst after the things of this world. It's because we do not dwell in the earth, and we do not dwell in the world. We dwell in heaven. And the only things that we have as in this earth that we allow ourselves to is to the necessitated means of survival, as to continue on to stay alive, as the world would say, to keep the body functioning until we finish our pilgrimage or finish our course, or until the Lord returns to take the blood off of the seat of atonement, that Satan by that will find himself in the earth and not in the spirit, as in heaven, as being a spirit, and that in the body of an unbeliever, having the grace of God upon that body, which is the body of the devil. See, as in those bodies and receiving that liberty from those dark pits of torment by the grace and the blood of the Lord Jesus, which is on the throne. It's like the law of today. I tell you that the upper class would never give the poorer class anything. If they could figure out how to have a law that would put you under bondage and give them liberty, they would do it, but they can't do it. Everything that they get for themselves is law and justice. It always makes a way for everyone as to liberty and justice for all. And you get the benefits of what they don't want you to have. And they, through their undermining, conniving doings, try then to insert and to put people on the law enforcement and in the Congress and everywhere else to take advantage of you, to twist it around and still put you under bondage and enslave you like they did to the people down in Egypt. And still use the law as to their benefit. But because of separation of church and state, in our day, we still have a little freedom. It's going away very fast. But anyway, Satan is on the loose. And the time is now coming where the light will be over. The preaching will be over. And you will be sealed on the inside as to the Holy Spirit. And you'll be waiting patiently for the change. Just as the conception as to a divine conception of Christ been formed within you and waiting until the birth of the child. So then you are sealed unto the day of the coming of the Lord. And the Lord has sealed you in, and we travail till Christ be formed within you. And that formation is just exactly what we're preaching as to this mind, because that's what's forming within you, and it's transformating your mind from one virtue to another virtue and one glory to another glory, as this mind of the child, or the spirit of life as the child, even Christ being formed within you, this life is quickening. See, and we're doing that every day. And the devils are contrary with the carnal mind of them that are in lust, and them that hunger and thirst after the flesh, and them that are going after the world, them that have businesses, and them that want the things of the world. The love of the world being in you, the love of the Father is not there, the kingdom of God not within you, if you've got the world within you. And all of those people are contrary, and all of them come to present themselves before God, even as you come. The sons of Satan come, Satan within them presents himself before God, even as you that have Christ on the inside. When you come here to present yourself bodies before God, then Satan also comes in his body and gives an account to God. So it's very evident that in a little while the expulsion would come, and the blood goes off of the seat of atonement, as science say, the great sunlight is to the day star moving away in a nova, and the light being taken away, and everything being total eclipse and darkness. And folks, it's just about there, spiritually speaking now. So following this through the tribulation period, the Bible teaches that the sun will become as black as sackcloth of iron, even as in the day when Jesus was crucified. Through the tribulation period, it's almost on you. As the light going out spiritually, so will your natural light go out there. Let's everybody stand together. I felt a little bit of hunger tonight. Didn't last real long, but it lasted enough to where we could say a few things to you.
I hurry and hurry and hurry, as I said, which ought not to be. But nevertheless, them that trouble you shall bear the judgment. And them that are hungering and thirsting after the world, they shall find what they're looking for. And they that are hungering and thirsting after God, they shall find what they are looking for. And the hour is at hand wherein the Bible said, he that is just, let him be just still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And that great hour of the coming of the Lord, when they'll cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, when they'll throw their money to the bats and their gold and silver, run into the caves, looking for a place to hide, saying, and the great day of his wrath is coming, who shall be able to abide the great judgment of God? The days of the Gentiles are at an end. Maybe you've heard that before, but I'm not guessing at it. I know for sure it's at an end. The harvest has come and it's over. The winter. And now the judgment is here. The Lord is gathering in. Some of you still aren't saved yet. You still don't have his spirit. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost or the Spirit of Christ since you believe? Have you received it? Do you have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? Of course not. You couldn't have the Holy Ghost and do the things that you do. But there are those that are babes that do have the Holy Ghost, and they stumble and stagger in making an effort to do right. And sometimes they're not as steadfast as they should be. But to go on doing worldly things and say that you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You've never been born again. Somebody says, well, I know I have. Well, it must have been a stillbirth. Certainly the Spirit hasn't quickened you to righteousness. But let's sing a little chorus together. Just as I am and waiting, not rid my soul of one dark blood. Now while we're singing, the altars are open. You have an opportunity to come. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord, to make a commitment to the Lord, then I would advise you to come. Now's the time for you to come. Now's the time when you can have the blessings of the Lord and you can have the Spirit of the Lord, because the time is at hand. I made the statement, it's in the book of Revelation. It says, and when the revelation of Jesus Christ came unto John, who was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, it was said at that time, the time is at hand. And in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. And the Bible said, they that have fallen from grace, they're under the law. So, while there's grace, while there's mercy, while he is near, call upon him while he is nigh. Because the hour is coming when you won't be able to call upon him. I was just thinking of a young boy. I said something to him the other day. I said, you need to be careful. He was trying to come to the Lord, and then he went back and doing things. And I was telling some of them, I said, he's fixing to run into problems. And I told him, I said, you go out this time, you're going to have problems. And sure enough, on the motorcycle the other day, they said he flipped it up on the car, flipped him over in the woods. And I said, well, Betty, I still believe God will take care of him and bring him through it. He'll be all right. And so far he is. I said, but this is one of the major warnings that God won't go any farther. He's not going to play with him any longer. He means business. So here we are, looking for and hastening unto the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing that we will not be found as in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of the Son of God. And not found within the filthy garments of your own body, the uncleanness, the Bible said, the filth of the flesh. For the flesh is filthy, it is a filthy garment. But rather being found in
the wonderful garments of Christ. Having been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. Having been baptized in his name, it was said unto Paul, to the street called straight, and wash away your sins, Paul, calling on the name of Jesus. Buried with him in baptism as to the offenses against God through the old beastly body, and raised again in justification by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, who today is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, who is our completed works, as in him we are entire and complete within the Lord Jesus Christ. While we sing this again, or sing a little closer, we'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. Breath in my heart, I can believe, and we'll overcome someday. For we overcome. We will overcome. We'll overcome someday. Help within my heart, friend, I can believe, then I'll gonna walk on streets of gold. Can you sing that with me? Walk on streets of gold. I'm gonna walk on streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk someday. Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. I'm gonna shake my Savior's hand someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. One more time. I will overcome. Oh, I will overcome someday. Or if down I can believe, then I will overcome someday. Can you say praise the Lord? All right, let's sing another little song. And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Although the way is rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, and if I help you carry the load, then you won't have to stop. Up your eyes, look up ahead. I can see the mountain top. When I stand upon the top, I'll be so glad that I tried. Together we will praise the Lord and shout down the other side. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll lend you the helping hand. Although the way seems rough and long, but together we can stand. Know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit. I'll help you carry the load. And I'm working the road to glory. Working the roads to glory. Helping the weak and the blind. I'm going to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above and make it easy for those behind. So we're working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. Going to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven up above, I'll make it easy. The road to heaven, it is straight. Narrow the gate around us, trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares that it offer, my prayers to make it easy for those that are behind. Sing that with me now. We keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and blind. I want to smooth out the road to heaven up above, to make it easy for those behind. And I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I want is more of Jesus. For to me, he's my everything. And you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the world's fame. All I want is to dwell with Jesus, for he is the King of Kings. So I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need all the pretty things. All I need is the love of Jesus. Oh, how wonderful that lovely name. No gold and silver, and I don't hold no worldly fame, but I want some more of Jesus. He's my Savior, oh, praise his name. Let's sing another little chorus together. Let's sing this chorus we sing. Time shall be no more. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that you might have salvation. They without us could not be made perfect. And when he, as to whom the promise was made, came, even the Lord Jesus, it was said, and in Isaac, all that is in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. And when he come, then he resurrected from the dead, having paid for our transgressions. And today he's living, he is alive, he is the resurrection and the life. And we are found within him, not doing our own things, but doing the things that please our Heavenly Father. As to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those wonderful things that he hath given to us, and those things that we have, as the scripture says, and I have given unto you all things that pertain unto life. All things is health, and all things is happiness. All things is youth. All things is riches. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and add no sorrow. So then we know that God has given us all things. All right, let's sing this together, can we? And time shall be no more, no more. And time
shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and land, and time shall be no more.
Sing it with me now. For time
shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. So we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. And I'll give Him glory, holy people. Oh, the blood that's washed away every stain.
Once again,
so we. We will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give
for little Chris to come up and dismiss us, if he will.
So I'm going to praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.